Please, everyone, look at Giriraj for a moment. Because his colors and moods really start changing. Throughout the day they change, but at this time they really start changing. And gradually night will descend and the parrots, oh, they've already begun. So please offer a prayer to Giriraj that, well, offer your prayer to Giriraj. Because Giriraj is very kind and he fulfills the desires of the devotees. And we see in Vrindavan that all the Brijbasis, especially on the Purnima and Amavasya, they circumambulate Giriraj. And whatever they feel so satisfied. He's very, very soothing personality. And now all the Deliwalas also come and circumambulate Giriraj. And one thing I noticed many years ago, as we were coming to the retreats, we'd walk from the ashram to Giriraj, and every time we would come, he would always be there. He's very reliable. What I would like to do, before we begin the katha part, I would like everyone to take out your japa beads. And we will chant one round. The morning program that Prabhupada originated at 26 Second Avenue was very, very simple, actually. It began at 7 o'clock, which later became quite a bit earlier. But probably there's a lot of devotees long for the good old days. And from 7 to 7, like 20, Prabhupada would chant. He would chant what we often call the samsara prayers, but as His Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj notes that it's not the prayers for samsara, it's the anti-samsara prayers, the prayers to glorify the spiritual master by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Sometimes Prabhupada would sing, start with Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Lata Parakamalanga, and glorify the entire disciplic succession and back to Krishna. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, and then yes, okay. and then glorify Srimati Radharani Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, and then chant Hare Krishna. And then he would give a class, but in between his singing and the giving of a class, he would say to the devotees, please chant one round. And all the devotees would chant one round together. So why don't we do that? For this round, in those days, the devotees were often chanting directly in the presence of Srila Prabhupada. And today we are chanting in the presence of Srila Prabhupada and Sisi Gonatai, Sisi Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, and Giriraj, and Srila Rupa Goswami. Yes. Anyway. but go and have a talk. I'm glad you don't have a microphone. But there is Giriraj right there. So why don't we, just for the chanting, for our chanting, why don't we face Giriraj and just chant one round and make our chanting, infuse it with a prayer. Not think prayer and then the Hare Krishna mantra, but put the mood of your prayer into your chanting. So let us chant one round all together. First we take shelter to give us some ability. We chant, we take shelter of our Guru Maharaj, the Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada, and we take shelter of our favorite deities, Gaunatayat, Panchatattva, and we take shelter of Giriraj Govardhan, and we just enter deeply in the mood of chanting as a request for service. And then let's just chant at your own speed, and then I tend to chant slow, so when I'm finished, I'll probably start the next part. So chant nicely and try your best. Let's begin. Jai Sachinandan. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, 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 Rama. Put your heart into it. This is a calling out. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please allow me to serve you. Please accept me as your servant. Try your best. You have nothing else to do right now. So fortunate. At this place, at this time, nothing to do except chant the names of Krishna. Try your best to focus. You have nothing else to do now. Such a fortunate time. Such a fortunate place. Kiriraj is the original rock star. If you can sincerely chant one mantra, you are so fortunate. When you finish your round, just look in this direction, and then we'll begin. Put some desire and calling into your calling out the names of Krishna. Okay. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivasesha Sunyavadi Paskati Desatarani Om Akyanatamirandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksa Samilatan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantikam Vansha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhayibhya Patitanam Pabhirebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Rather than beginning where we're supposed to begin, which is chapter 10 in the 10th canto, we'll begin in the chapter before that, which is obviously chapter 9. And in the 9th chapter of the 10th canto, one of the most famous of Krishna's leelas is described, and this is the Damodar Leela. I'd like to tell that briefly because it is required to know something about the Damodar Leela, or have it in our immediate memory, so we will understand what happens next. And what happens next is the two great Arjuna trees are pulled down, and two devatas, powerful, effulgent living entities, they will offer prayers. But first, before we get to that, I would like to say something about Krishna's Damodar Leela. This happened in the month of Kartik on Diwali day. And all the Brijbasis were preparing for the Indra Jagya, which Krishna later stopped. And he had he worshipped Giriraj at that time. But in preparation for the Indra Jagya, everyone, all the servants of Mother Yashoda, were engaged. So please see the scene in your mind, in your consciousness, that the most beautiful, effulgent baby, not baby, but infant, he's sleeping. And Mother Yashoda has to get up because she has to churn the butter herself. Actually, she wanted to churn the butter herself. In the previous pastime, all the ladies in the neighborhood, they joined together and they came to complain to Mother Yashoda about the stealing and the pranks of little Krishna. And those pastimes themselves are so sweet. Krishna stealing, and the ladies of the village get together and they visit Mother Yashoda and they start speaking about your boy has done this and your boy has done that. And Krishna sitting so and like an angel, like he's never done anything wrong. And I don't know why, I just go to their houses out of affection before the sun, and there they're criticizing me. Okay, I won't go anymore if they're going to be like that. And Mother Yashoda playfully says, oh, why are you criticizing my son? He never does anything wrong. And Krishna, his expertise is bringing sweetness into every dealing. That sweetness is called rasa. So Krishna is Rasraj, Rasraj. He's the expert at churning love in the hearts of his devotees. So when Mother Yashoda says that, Krishna will just move towards her very gently, maybe just touch her a little bit so she feels. And then they go, the ladies leave and they say, you'll know what it feels like. They're in ecstasy too, complaining about Krishna, because they're engaged in Krishna Katha, speaking about Krishna. And they have so much love for Krishna. And there he is, so beautiful. One could say unlimitedly beautiful. Now, how are we going to imagine unlimitedly beautiful? We can't. But if we make our humble attempt to picture this pastime, and then Krishna will, as we heard yesterday, he will say, oh, my devotees are trying to think about me. How nice. So the ladies, as they were leaving, they'll say, you'll know what it feels like when he does something naughty in your house. And that is the Damodar Leela. So this boy is just sleeping with his beautiful curly hair that is black, like the color of very black bumblebees. And his lips are very red, and his complexion is like a dark moon, a monsoon cloud, and he's just sleeping. And Mother Yashoda is the asraya, or the shelter, of all motherly love for Krishna. She is the source of that. So she just, without waking him, she gently, what's the right word? Yes, thank you. Caresses him. Just very, very gently. And she goes a little bit of distance away to the butter pot where they're churning. First it's turned into yogurt, and then the yogurt is churned and it becomes milk. So she's dressed very, very beautifully too. And her hair, in her hair, there's jewels and flowers. And she's churning, and her sari is saffron yellow colored, as one of our acharyas explained. And she's churning. And she starts singing songs that she's made up by herself, because this is what the Brijbazis do, the cowherd boys do it, his friends. They sing about Krishna, his pastimes, all day long. They're fully fixed in his pastimes and thinking about him. So Srila Jiva Goswami, he has written down some of the songs composed by Mother Yashoda as she's churning, thinking about Krishna, churning butter from Krishna, because butter is Krishna's favorite food. And this is something very important to remember. You'll understand why in a moment. So she sings, O Tilak of the family of Nanda, you are living in Braja. Since the people here have done hundreds of pious acts, you give them the greatest happiness. And seeing your actions, everyone in Braja's eyes become joyful. By the great festival arising from this bliss, you give bliss to all the cowherds. O King of Gokula, who is filled with the auspicious action of killing Putana? You engage in auspicious acts after overturning the cart which destroyed the steadiness of our hearts. The Supreme Lord has brought you back after you killed the Trinavarta demon. You crawled about in the beautiful yard, O lotus-eyed child, because Krishna's eyes are shaped just like a lotus petal. And when he was running from Mother Yashoda later, his eyes went from one side to the other side and back again out of fear of Mother Yashoda coming. You are the greatest piety. You show the greatest skill at dancing and playing. Sometimes when Krishna becomes caught, when he steals butter, he says to his mother, saying, you have stolen butter. He said, because I am the most expert of all thieves. He's so naughty, and in this way, he encaptures the heart of Mother Yashoda and everyone's heart. You appear most attractive when you hold on to the calves' tails. You show false greed in arguing for fun with the elders. O Krishna, always give happiness to me, your mother. Stay in this house always. Please reveal your playful antics and quickly grow. You showed the power of the Lord and caused me astonishment when I saw the universe within you. Now keep this in mind. Krishna is sleeping and he's so beautiful and so attractive, but he's the unlimited supreme personality of Godhead continuously, always. He doesn't meditate to become God. Mother Yashoda looked in his mouth and saw within his abdomen the universe is two times. This caused me astonishment, Mother Yashoda say. But then in the next line, she says, may your body remain without old age and death, and may you become the cause of joy by your worshipping the Lord. So he is the unlimited Lord, unlimitedly beautiful, but unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly intelligent. He's savagya, he knows everything. But quite mysteriously, he's playing in Vrindavan. And now, please hear what he does. So Mother Yashoda is churning the butter, the yogurt into butter, and Krishna wakes up, and when little infants wake up, what do they do naturally? They start crying, and then what's supposed to happen next? Is the mother supposed to come and say, oh, my darling boy, oh, like this, and show him affection? Then he becomes peaceful. But Mother Yasoda was so engaged in churning the butter, she did not hear him cry. So Krishna, who very much likes to have his own way about everything, he started to become angry. He got up from bed, and rubbing his eyes and unsteady legs, he walked to where Mother Yasoda was churning the butter, and he held on to the churning rod. And he said, oh, Maya, oh, Mother Maya, oh, Maya. Could someone say that with a nice Brijbasi accent? Oh, yeah, again, louder. Yes, like that, again and again. And Kavi Kanapur said, he was even in such a naughty mood, he held onto the stick and said, if you don't stop and feed me, if you don't stop churning and feed me, I'm going to break your butter pot. So Mother Yasoda immediately melted. Oh, Vatsa. Oh, she would sometimes call him Vatsa, like my little calf. And she took him and she began to feed him the milk from her breast. But when Krishna was only half satisfied, Mother Yasoda noticed that the milk on the milk pot was starting to boil over. Now, notice that if she could see it boiling over, it was very, very close. It wasn't like 2 kilometers away or anything like that. It was very, very close. So it means by the time she came back, it couldn't have taken very long at all. But as we said, Krishna likes to have his own way. And he was quite upset. He was deeply hurt that his mother put him down. And she spoke so sweetly to him when she put him down. Srila Jiva Goswami says that she said, oh, my beloved son, I do aarti to you. Please, just for a moment, just guard this butter pot. Make sure nothing happens to it. And I'm just going for a moment to fix the milk which is boiling it over. I'll be right back. Oh, la la. And she put him down. But Krishna became angry. And feeling himself quite the victim, he took a rock and broke the clay pot, and the yogurt began to pour everywhere, all over the ground. And he was crying and crying, and he was angry. Angry and crying. He walked right through the yogurt on the ground, stepped through it. He didn't eat anything. And then he went to the storeroom where the butter was kept. The rest of the butter was kept, churned from the day before. And he opened up the door, closed it, and bolted the door from the inside. And he began to break pots. And he began to take a little from butter from one pot, and a little butter from another pot, and a little butter from another pot. And then, and all the time, and actually, and this is important for all Matajis to note, that when Krishna started eating his favorite food, butter, his anger went down. Very practical point in life. So, and then he took one butter pot and he thought, what am I going to do with this? And he decided to bring it near the gateway, because he knew he had done something wrong. And he thought, by the gateway there's usually many, many people congregated. So therefore, if there are many people around, Mother Yasoda won't punish me. But it was early in the morning, and actually there was no one there. And Krishna, he got on top of the grinding mortar, as we all know, And he began to feed the butter, eat the butter and feed it to monkeys. And also, Srila Jiva Goswami says, or Srila Kavi Kanawa, to other children too. Everyone started coming around and he started feeding it. But all the time, he was looking around because he knew he had done something wrong. And his eyes, his lotus eyes, going from this side almost to his ears to that side like that, from one to the other. And Mother Yashoda came and she saw that there was yogurt everywhere, and she who could have done this? And she saw the rock and she saw footprints, little lotus footprints in the yogurt. And she followed them and she understood, this is my boy's work. He is so naughty. He is so restless. So somehow or another she got the door open and she saw that the pots were broken, butter was taken here and there, and she became so angry. And she looked and she saw Krishna feeding the butter to the boys and the monkeys. And she was angry. I've tried my best to train this boy. And look how he is acting. So naughty. So she started to come towards him and she picked up a stick. She wanted to teach him a lesson. And Krishna, whose eyes were going this way and that, saw her coming. And he became afraid. And he ran away. And she began calling out to him, stop running away. You stop running away. You are a thief. He kept on running. You are a liar. Later he'll say, you're a friend of the monkeys. But not quite yet. Stop immediately. Come and stand here. And Krishna was running. And he said, throw away the stick. Put down the stick. Don't punish me. She kept on running after him. And then, as he was looking back, or rather, then he said, if you put down the stick, then I'll stop running. And Mother Yashoda, at that time, her heart softened because she saw he was afraid of the stick. What's that wonderful sound outside? Does anyone know? It's not monkeys, because it would be much, much more tumultuous if it was monkeys. So at that time, Mother Yashoda, when Krishna looked around, Mother Yashoda grabbed him. And she said to him, you are a thief. You are a liar. Why don't you admit your fault? And Krishna replied, why don't you say exactly what happened? And Krishna said, when you went to turn the milk pot from its boiling over, then your ankle bells banged into the milk pot and it broke. And at the same time, because Krishna's body was covered with butter, he took dust, and to cover the ghee on his body, he put dust on his body. Then how did this ghee get on your body? Because the monkeys came and they were pulling the pot over, and I tried to stop them, but it came all over on me. Then who was feeding the ghee to the monkeys, the butter to the monkeys? He who made monkeys gave them ghee too. Of course, he was telling the truth in that case. She said, why do you run away if you've done nothing wrong? And he said, I saw you had a stick in your hand, and without even asking me any questions, even though I did nothing wrong, you were going to beat me, so of course I ran away. She said, you are fond of monkeys. That is because you are a monkey. And Krishna was rubbing his eyes, and at this time, even though his hands are as soft as lotus petals or as soft as rose petals, his eyes were becoming red. And he said, if I'm a monkey, then I'm going to the forest. I'm going to leave here forever and I'll live with my friends, the monkeys. Mother Yashoda then became frightened. And she thought to herself, I should tie him up. Otherwise, he's so restless, he might actually run into the forest that I may never see him again. So she said to him, I will tie you up. And now, after I tie you up, let us see what kind of stealing you're going to do. Do you understand me? And Krishna began calling out, oh, Rohini! Oh, Rohini Devi! And just that morning, Rohini Devi and Baladev had gone to the house of Upananda, being pulled by the affection of Upananda. So Rohini Devi and Baladev were not there at that time. Oh, Rohini Devi! She is binding me up! Please come quickly and stop her! At that time, all the ladies in the village, they came, and they were seeing Mother Yashoda so angry at Krishna, and they said, oh, has he done something wrong in your house? She completely ignored them. So all this time, the center of everyone's attention is on Krishna, with his beauty, with his effulgence, with his unlimited naughtiness. And everyone is floating in an ocean of bliss, focused on Krishna and this pastime that's going on. And the heart of Mother Yashoda is overflowing, and everyone's heart is overflowing, and Krishna is churning it more and more and more. So Mother Yashoda then took out one string from her hair, and she said, I'm going to tie you up. And as we know, she tried to tie him, and the rope would not fit around his belly. Now his belly, says Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, was about this big, as big as a fist. So Mother Yashoda took a second rope out of her hair. This time it was a silk rope. And she tied it to that one, and it was the same distance short. And what was that distance? 2 fingers short. That's not very much. It was always that amount too short. So she took the rope from churning, and she tied that. And amazingly enough, it was 2 fingers too short. Now, there's some philosophical reasons for it being that same distance too short, and we all know that according to the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. There is, if one wants to capture Krishna, there must be 2 things. 1 finger represents what? The endeavor. Who knows the Sanskrit word for that? Parishrama, or the hard work of the devotee, trying to find Krishna. It is not easy to find Krishna. I've heard Prabhupada say, do you think it is easy? And the second finger is Krishna's kripa, his mercy. So the first is necessary but insufficient. ultimately it's Krishna's Kripa Shakti. And what had happened was Krishna didn't want to get punished because naturally he didn't want to get punished. And he has, one of his shaktis is called his Icha Shakti or Satya Sankalpa Shakti, which means that it is evoked, it fulfills all his desires. So he didn't want to get punished, so his Satya Sankalpa Shakti evoked his Aishwarya Shakti, his opulence, and therefore it was impossible for her to bind him, because after all, he is everything. There is nothing separate from him, and how could you bind everything with something? And he's composed of knowledge, bliss, and eternity, and wisdom, and how could you bind consciousness and knowledge and bliss? How can you circumscribe it? How can you take a rope and put it around consciousness and bliss and knowledge? And who is everything? So Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti was evoked. But then, in a very interesting way, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said that when Mother Yashoda, oh, I wanted to say one thing before I say this, that then she called for all the ladies who were there sort of laughing at this amazing pastime. And she said, bring me all the ropes. I have to find out. If it takes all the ropes in Vrindavan, I want to find out these two things. How is it possible that no matter how many ropes I add, it is always the same amount, too short, two fingers? And second astonishing thing, no matter how many ropes I add, it is always that two fingers too short, and yet my boy's waist is still the same size. It doesn't grow at all. So all the ladies, they went to their houses, and they brought all the ropes and strings from their houses, and Mother Yashoda tied it. And still, Krishna's waist didn't grow, and it was two fingers too short. So then, when she was very, very exhausted, the other of Krishna's, the king, the most powerful, the most controlling of Krishna's shaktis was evoked, and that was Krishna's Kripa Shakti, his Shakti of mercy and compassion. And that Shakti means that Krishna's heart became softened. And therefore, Mother Yashoda was allowed, could bind him. And then she took the, and she bound him with just those two ropes, the first two ropes from her hair. And she said, now you naughty boy, you're bound, you can't do it. Let's see what you can steal now. Now, and Krishna's crying and crying and crying and angry because she's actually bound him. She's bound the unlimitedly powerful Lord with this incredible love she has for him. How can we understand this on a deeper level? Because it's easy to hear Krishna's Leela as very cute stories, but they are the most deep and the most sweet. So then, Mother Yashoda called the boys who were around, and actually when Krishna was around, was bound, the boys, who did they... Not quite yet. Just wait a minute. Who's the controller of light? Surya Dev. Maybe you can turn the lights off for a moment. Well, see how powerful my words are. Okay. Let the lights be on. See how powerful my words are. Oh! See how powerful... Oh! I'm completely... Oh! Okay. Let you do whatever you want, lights. See how powerful my words are. Let my light stay on. That's a very bold thing to say in Vrindavan, actually, because no one knows what's going to happen next. So all the boys, because Mother Yashoda is in Vatsalya Ras, and the boys, they're in Sakya Ras. So Subal Saka, seeing Krishna, he's a little boy too. How he's like this big, they're so little, and so cute. And Subal Saka started crying, seeing his dear friend Krishna bound up. So Mother Yashoda said, "You boys, you stand around him, protect him, make sure he doesn't untie the ropes." They all said, "Yes, Maya, we will do that." And Krishna is crying and crying, and Mother Yashoda, "Now you will learn your lesson. Don't steal butter. Don't break the butter pots." Krishna says, crying and crying and crying. And Mother Yashoda goes away. And as soon as Mother Yashoda goes away, Krishna stops crying. And he starts looking at his friends. And there he is, tied up like that. He just starts moving this way and that way, seeing what kind of fun he can have with the mortar. And then he's in the courtyard, and he starts pulling the mortar, first this way and that way, and all the boys are laughing. He's joking with his friends, and they're playfully doing, "Well, look at Krishna, he's pulling the mortar this way and that way." And he goes to every house, because all the ladies went with Mother Yashoda in the house. So he goes to every house of every lady who had donated rope and tells the boys, "You steal butter from that house, you steal butter from that house, you steal butter from that house, and you steal butter from that house." And he's feeling very, very, very blissful. And then he sees two ancient, huge trees, Arjuna trees, which usually can grow up to 30 meters high. And he remembers the curse blessing that had made these trees grow in the courtyard. So with the boys surrounding him, he goes in between these Dhammal or twin Arjuna trees, and he crawls in between them, and he pulls the mortar in between them. And suddenly, Krishna gives a jerk, and no, there was a loud crash, a loud sound. Something like, but much louder. And these huge trees fell to the ground. And the sound was so loud that for one muhurta, any astrologers, one muhurta is 48 minutes, thank you. 48 minutes. All the cowherd men, they were stunned and could not move. The sound shook them to the core of their being, and they could not move. And the cowherd boys, and they were unconscious, and the cowherd boys, they also couldn't move. But they were so much involved in this sweet pastime of Krishna that they remained conscious and they witnessed everything. So when the trees fell down, the Bhagavatam says that two effulgent persons came out. They were effulgent, like the sun in the sky. And they came to where this little boy was, surrounded by the fallen trees, and they folded their hands And they began to offer prayers to him. Okay, now we want to see what these prayers were saying, are saying. This is, of course, these two effulgent personalities were the sons of Kuvera. And they had been involved in some naughty activities. And because of their naughty activities, in the presence of Narada Muni, they were cursed by Narada. But the saint's curse was actually a blessing, the greatest blessing. They were engaged in intoxication. They were engaged in just playing in the water, unclothed with ladies. They were completely enamored with enjoyment in the material world. In other words, they were bound up by the material energy, by the modes of material nature, passion, ignorance. They were caught. They were in the wheel of samsara. They were going to have to suffer birth, death, and everything that comes between. And by the curse of Narada, they became these two trees. You like to stand naked, well, become trees. But you will be in the courtyard of Krishna. So these two trees, being conscious, they had witnessed all these childhood pastimes of Krishna. They had witnessed Krishna's stealing activities. They had witnessed the killing of Putana. They had witnessed the Krishna's kicking his little legs and knocking over this was after when Krishna was 1 month old, and knocking over the cart. They had witnessed beautiful Krishna crawling through the courtyards of Vrindavan and walking and playing with his friends. And they had already understood that Krishna, although in this seemingly effulgent sapphire blue effulgent form, they understood, as Lord Brahma understood, that there was unlimited potency in his form. And thus they began to pray. Okay, here's what I've done. Because there are 10 prayers, and then Krishna responds. Some of the prayers, we will listen to the Sanskrit, and we will say the Sanskrit. And some of the prayers, we will hear the English. And some of the prayers, we will I've just summarized, and we can speak about them. Oh, I have now we have to offer. We were hoping that, yes. This is from the 10th chapter of the 10th canto. So the first thing they say, let's say this one together. Krishna Krishna Mahayogims Tvam Adya Purusha Para Vyakta Vyakta Midam Vishvam Rupam te brahmana vidu. O Krishna. They are, again, as Maharaj said this morning, they immediately start some nam sankirtan. Krishna, Krishna. They called out the names of Krishna. Remember, at this time, there's these effulgent personages who are the sons of the demigod Kuvera, but they're effulgent like the sun. And this little boy and these effulgent personages are praying to the little boy who at this moment is still tied by the ropes that Mother Yasoda tied him with. Some of our acharyas had said that when Balaram returned, and he saw that Krishna was tied up with ropes, he became so angry. He said, "Who has tied you like this? I will destroy him. I will destroy the universe." And Krishna said, "Mother Yashoda has tied me." And Balaram went, "Oh. Why are you acting so naughty all the time, Krishna?" So Krishna, they called out. They had been watching Krishna's pastimes. And they have understood that not what their mood was different from the Brijbasi's mood, because the Brijbasi's, Mother Yashoda said, "Oh, my unlimitedly powerful son, I have seen the universes within your abdomen." But that doesn't in the slightest way decrease her loving motherly affection for him. Because what predominates, what dominates the mood that dominates in Braja, is the sweetness of the loving exchanges between Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. It is just so sweet. And to this day, when one comes to Vrindavan, the atmosphere is so unique. There is no place in existence like Vrindavan that just has sweetness in the atmosphere. It is so sweet at times that you can practically capture it in your hand. But Nala Kuvera have perceived this sweetness because he was watching Krishna's pastimes, and they're also watching the dealings between Krishna and the devotees, the Brijbasis, and they are astounded by these dealings. They're astounded by the loving exchanges. They're astounded by the fact that Mother Yashoda has tied up Krishna, and that Krishna was actually afraid of Mother Yashoda, and that Krishna is crying out of fear of Mother Yashoda. And that his crying out of fear is not that he's imitating the children of this world being frightened by their mothers when they've done something wrong, but actually, and most mysteriously and most astonishingly, Krishna is actually afraid that Mother Yashoda is going to punish him. How is this possible? So the dealings of Krishna and the Brijbasis are most mysterious, and they take place on a platform that's very attractive, so attractive, but still it is mysterious. How is the unlimited Lord, everything in existence, I mean, think of what existence is. It's the sound of the parrots. It's the sky. It's the countless planets. It's the ocean. It's everything that exists on the planets. It's everything that exists, the big cities, the wood, the earth, the concrete, the steel, the electricity that makes the buildings. It's the cyclones that devastate a part of a country. It's a huge tsunami. It's oceans, water, mountains. And Krishna, unlimited universes come from him. And there he is. And then when Brahma sees Krishna, he notes that unlimiteds have expanded from Krishna, and each of these unlimiteds have unlimited potency. And there he is. When Mother Yashoda is going like this, he's rubbing his eyes, and tears are coming from his eyes. So much so that the kajal, or mascara, as we translate it usually, is decorating his, with the mixed with the tears, is decorating his beautiful cheeks. So much so that Satyavrata Muni is saying that you are capable of giving any benediction, every benediction. But the only benediction I want is for this pastime of Braja to remain always in my heart and nothing else remain in my heart. I want to simply concentrate with great devotion on this pastime. It is so mysterious how you are being conquered by the love of your devotees, how you are playing with your friends and wrestling with them, arm wrestling, other wrestling, dancing, how you are herding the cows, how you are dancing with the gopis at night, in places so close to this very place. On that other end, Puchiri end, is Rasastali. Right here, Krishna has herded the cows. So mysterious, and so sweet, and so captivating, that these two devatas, or sons of devatas, they're completely enamored. And they're so purified by watching this. They say, Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin. You are the master of all mysticism. Mahayogin. All mysticism. Why don't we turn the lights on right now? Let's see if it works. Just so I don't get proud, it doesn't happen immediately. But it happens soon. The lights may go on soon. It will add some heat because it's starting to get cold, and what I don't want to do is close the curtain. But we may have to. But it would be so nice if Kiriraj is were able to see Kiriraj. How come it does just the opposite of what I say? Lights, don't go on. Whatever you do, don't go on, lights. 5. What does that mean? 5 minutes. Lights, don't go on in 5 minutes. Let's see if that works. You are so mystical, even when you are acting like this little boy. This is the most mystical. Mystical means mysterious. It is the most mysterious thing. Tvam adya purusha para. Because you are the original person, the original para person, the supreme person. You are the supreme person, the origin of everything, sarva karana karanam. And here you are, still bound, still bound by your mother's affection. And so amazingly, that when Krishna pulled the mortar between the two trees, the trees fell down, and what is amazing, the rope didn't break, but the trees fell down. And this little infant who's crawling, he's crawling somehow or another, when he is between the trees and he pulls it, how much strength does a little baby have after all? And the huge trees fall down because he's unlimitedly powerful. And yet, this pastime is taking place. The unlimitedly powerful is bound up, tied up by the ropes of the affection of Yashoda, and therefore in Dhammadharmas and Kartikmas, we sing this song every day to remind us how powerful bhakti is. It binds Krishna, controls Krishna. It makes the unlimitedly powerful cry. And it brings the greatest pleasure to the unlimitedly powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tvam adya purusha para vyaktira vyaktim idam vishwam. The unmanifested, the everything that exists and doesn't exist in the universe, it comes from you, Rupam, Te, Brahmana, Vidu. And great learned souls, this is what they understand. Here is Srila Prabhupada's translation. O Lord Krishna, their hands are folded, they're effulgent. And little Krishna is listening to their words. Your opulent mysticism is inconceivable, because it is important for us to understand this at this point of our development as sadhakas, that when Krishna is playing, he's still unlimitedly powerful. When Krishna is dancing with the gopis, it has nothing at all to do with the dancing in nightclubs that ordinary persons engage in. It is something on the highest, most mysterious level. It has nothing to do with the modes of material nature. Brahma saw that the modes of material nature and swabhava and karma and kala, time, they were all the potencies that control us. They were all subservient and worshipping Krishna. So the worshipping energies, how can they be controlling the one who they're worshipping? They're his shaktis. So this is most mysterious. We have to see these pastimes through different eyes that we don't yet have. We see them through the eyes of our ears, through the words of the acharyas, through shastra. And we let the holy words of Srila Sukadeva Goswami provide us the vision for seeing. They provide us real sight in our Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas. You are the supreme original person. Remember who he's talking to. The cause of all causes, immediate and remote, of vyakta vyaktim. And you are beyond this material creation. And all your pastimes are beyond this material creation. They have nothing to do with matter. Now how are we going to conceive of that? We can't conceive of it, because our consciousness is filled with matter. But yet, we should try to envision it, understanding these two amazing points, that he's unlimitedly powerful and he's bound by Mother Yashoda's love, and later he's going to be performing other activities. He's going to be playing with his friends. He's going to be taking the calves out. He's going to be massaging the legs of the calves, and he's going to be hugging them, embracing them. And he's going to take his forehead and take the calves' foreheads and put and touch it like that and say, don't worry, my dear calves. Don't worry. We'll bring you home to your mother soon. Don't worry. Do you miss your mother? And the calves, although they don't speak either English or Brajabas or Sanskrit, they understand the language that Krishna is speaking, because it is the language of loving reciprocation. Because they speak to Krishna in that language. And when it comes for the time after a year or so or two, when Krishna is no longer taking out the calves and he's taking out the cows, he's been given that opportunity now to take out the cows so he can be out all day long in Vrindavan and perform other pastimes. do you think those calves would let Krishna go out without them? Do you think the bulls of Vrindavan would let Krishna go out with them? All of Vrindavan, when Krishna wants to go out, everyone from Nanda Maharaj to Madhya Yashoda, they are ready to go with him. But they can't. So therefore they are with him in a different way, and that way is the way of, oh, when can I see Krishna again? When can I be with Krishna? When, kabhi habhi bolo sayyidinama, when will that day be mine, when I have enough sincerity of desire to desire this, and when will my heart be free of all these material desires that I've been trying to satisfy this life and hundreds of other lives, thousands of other lives? When will in my heart will your mercy shine? When, oh when, will that day be mine? Learned brahmanas know on the basis of Vedic statements, savam kalavidam brahma, that you are everything. Because he's just seen this expansion of Krishna where the ropes couldn't bind him because he has no inside, no outside. There is nothing separate from him. So they've observed this. And the conclusion is that there is nothing separate from Krishna. That he is everything in existence as his energy. But yet he's the supreme person. Like the king is everywhere in the kingdom by his energies. And he's sitting in his throne room in the dabar, in the court. But yet in his house, in Vrindavan, is the private quarters of Krishna, where he can just do just as he wants to do, act just as he likes with his dearest devotees. But yet you are everything. This is the point of learning, the ultimate point of learning, that the brahmanas know, who have clean, pure consciousness. Because according to our consciousness, we see, we perceive. So they have consciousness, these most learned souls, that are detached from matter, detached from the modes of nature. Therefore they see clearly. And what is that? What do they see when they see clearly? They see that you are everything. And the cosmic manifestation in all of its gross and subtle aspects, the air that is surrounding us, that is increasingly getting chilly, and devotees are starting to cough. So I think it's time to close the curtains. This is like at the time, the very, if you've been standing before the deities for a long time, who's in charge of, who has the thankless task of closing the curtains at this time? When you're standing before Sisi Gornatai or Krishna Balaram, Radhashyama Sundar for a long time, or your dearest deities, and then it's time, the darshan has ended, and it's time for the curtains to close. And then naturally we think, oh no. So is it going to happen? Balo Giriraj Maharaj ki. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki. Bolo Giriraj Dharan ki. It's good we have this system, because it takes a little longer. Radharaman, sing. Yes. Oh no. Don't sing that, but sing. Thank you.
Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan,
Giri Govardhan.
Jai Giri Govardhan, Jai Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Jai Jai Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Yetai Gaura Hare Bhav, Hare Bhav.
Don't worry, because why? He can still see us. They continue. I've just paraphrased their prayer because it's quite long here, but you'll get the idea. You are the controller of all that controls within this world. You are the super soul, and you know everything within one's heart. You existed before the creation, and therefore are unknowable to those trapped within a material body. So this is astounding. But it's an obvious point that Krishna, just like the child, cannot understand much about what their parents' early life is unless the parents explain it to the child, because the child is created in a sense by the parents. So similarly, we can't understand Krishna. He's unknowable to us unless there is some revealing of him to us. So no one who can understand you, who can understand Krishna completely. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in commenting on this verse, he says, no one can understand Krishna, but the devotees, because of their bhakti, yeyatamam prapadyante, Krishna reveals to them different aspects of himself. And to those who have such full bhakti, that they don't want anything of this world at all, and they only want to please Krishna, when bhakti has grown to that level, when there is no other thought, quite naturally, other than pleasing Krishna, means serving Krishna, like loving Krishna, and thinking about him and what he wants, then one is on the level of prema bhakti, and one can be in Vaikuntha. And when that bhakti, that prema, has the specific flavor of Vrindavan, and the love is more in the mood of I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. But when it is more in the mood of Krishna is my, like living in the village with Krishna is like growing up in the same house with him. Everyone knows him so well. They're used to seeing him every day. Mamata, he is ours. He is our Krishna. Krishna is mine. Love on the level of the Brijbasis, it demands that type of a mood. When Krishna is wandering through the forest, he's disappeared from the Braja Gopikas, they're wondering and worrying about that his soft lotus feet are being inconvenienced by the sharp rocks of Vrindavan. So Krishna is unknowable, but yet when he reveals himself to his devotees, he becomes knowable to the extent that he reveals himself. To the bhaktas, he is knowable. To those who practice devotion, he is knowable. Your glories are covered by your own potency. This is my paraphrasing of the actual verse of verse 33. O Lord, whose glories are covered by your own energy. So there are two energies, the Maya Shakti, the Mahamaya Shakti, that everyone in this world, they cannot see that Krishna is everywhere. There is one lecture that where Prabhupada speaks, and he says that he's looking for the right. It's very early in his visiting in the United States. It's still in New York, very very early, and he's talking about Premanjana Turita Bhakti Valochanena, how love for Krishna gives one the ability to see Krishna everywhere. And he says that people ask, can you show me God? And he explains that prema, and he's looking for the word. And then what he says is, prema, or love for Krishna, is like the magic wand. That when one's eyes are affected by the magic wand of love for Krishna, then it is not that you can see Krishna somewhere, but there is no place where you look where you don't see Krishna. So Nalakuvara and Manigriva, they have seen by the blessing curse of Narada Muni. So they say that Krishna's Maya Vakani Jakani Katsanam, like Kunti Devi says, there is a curtain that covers our eyes. Giriraj is still there, but we can't see him because of this curtain. Even though the curtain is quite thin from one perspective, we cannot see him because our eyes are so imperfect. And that curtain is also Krishna's energy. But it is you who are the Supreme Brahman. And all we can do is offer our obeisances to you sincerely. Because we don't have the power to move forward by our own potencies, by our own energies, by my own intellect, by everything I use in this world to manipulate things. It is insufficient to be with Krishna, to cause him to lift the curtain. So we simply offer you our respectful obeisances. And then, Nama, everyone to repeat after me this one. Nama Paramakalyana. Nama Parama Mangala Vasudevaya Shantaya Jadunam Pate Nama. Very, very wonderful composition. Oh, supremely auspicious. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you, who are the supreme good, Parama Mangalam, O most famous descendant and controller of the Yaru dynasty, see they can't, why they're going to have to leave Vrindavan? Because they don't have the vision that the Brijbasis have. The most famous descendant and controller of the Yadu dynasty, O son of Vasudev, O most peaceful, let us offer our obeisances unto your lotus feet. And remember, these are powerful, effulgent devatas at this point. Anujanihi nobumams tavanachura kinkara darshanam nao bhagavata vishirasid anugrahat. That we have, and now they ask, which for us at this point, they're going to ask for permission. Anujanihi means, may we have permission, O bhumam, O supremely all-powerful one. Tava anuchara kinkara. Because we are servants of Narada Muni, your devotees, therefore, darshanam no bhagavata. By his mercy, anugrahat, we have had your darshan, and we are able to see you face to face. We thought it was a curse that they had given us. And this, I think Maharaj was hinting at this point in his class this morning of how we have to go down to go up. So sometimes that which we think are unfortunate circumstances, if we can somehow turn to Krishna with them, then that the curse of the difficulty becomes the greatest blessing for us. Because if in difficulty we turn to Krishna always, and because life in Kali Yuga is so difficult continuously, we're going to be continuously turning to Krishna. And what could be more fortunate than always being in Krishna's presence? Because if we're always turning to him, then he's always there, because he's always facing us. It is us who have turned our back on Krishna, but when we turn to him, he is always there. So difficulties become blessings in that way. But first we have to give up, which Maharaj said very clearly, we have to give up this tendency, which is not at all easy to give up. Not at all. It's easier to preach to others about it than when some difficulty is happening to me. But to rely on my own strength to solve all problems. And there is one definition of midlife crisis, is that that when you hit a certain age, you're in a circumstance where all the tricks that you've used in your life to get you through, you used your influence, your intelligence, your this, your that, your this, your that, trickiness, your who you know, whatever money you have, to somehow get you through, they all fail you. And then you feel lost because we identify with those things. This is me. I'm the one who can do this. I'm the one who can do that. I know this person. I have this. I'm intelligent. I'm this. I'm that. But then at some point in our life, if we are very fortunate, they all fail. And then we're forced, well, not forced, but we either fall apart or we fall into the feet of Krishna. So this is a time that's it's very crucial for our spiritual development. Which way are we going to fall? We're going to fall into the at the lotus feet of Krishna and beg him for shelter. And sometimes, from my own experience, I know that your mind wants, the last thing the mind wants to do, as Prabhupada would say, the rascal mind wants to do, is to take shelter of Krishna. And that means one has to defeat the mind and take shelter of Krishna by chanting loudly or going in front of the deities and somehow give up this misidentification with the mind, which is so dear to us. The mind, my mind, and the identification with the mind. So we have to break that if we want to come to Krishna during these difficult times, because there's such a tendency to think, I am my mind and my thoughts. But instead, we have to, not have to, but have to in the sense if we want to take shelter of Krishna, we have to think, I am Krishna's. And if one goes tripte varanam tata, if one has the strength in all circumstance to think, I am Krishna's, then we will also have the strength to think, Krishna is mine. It gives one gotripte, surrender to Krishna, thinking that Krishna is my protector, and he is my maintainer, he is everything. Krishna, Mata Krishna Pita Krishna Pranadhan, he is my wealth of my life, he is my life. If we can somehow turn to Krishna, then naturally, we will naturally think that Krishna is mine, and he is my protector. This is the main battle in life, in one sense. Once that surrender takes place, it will be deepened and deepened and deepened. So, now they say, O Supreme Form, we are always servants of your servants. Now, they're showing the right mood, especially of Narada Muni. But now, give us permission to leave for our home. It is by the grace and mercy of Sri Narada Muni that we have been able to see you face to face. It is not by our endeavor, but it is by grace. Then in the final prayer, they're going to ask for a benediction. And what I personally perceived in this benediction, it's a complete change, because before they were bathing in the heavenly celestial waters, surrounded by beautiful celestial damsels, and they were intoxicated, and their mood was simply enjoyment. And what is the mood of materialistic enjoyment? It means that I want to see beautiful things. I want to touch beautiful things, wonderful things. I want to taste tasty items. I want to hear the sweet celestial sounds. I want this, I want that. And it all has to do with the senses being engaged in my service. And look at this turnaround. After coming in contact with Krishna and being purified by suffering, as our acharyas say, the suffering of enduring everything as trees, this is what they now desire. I won't, we could go through the English, but we're getting late and we will end on time, so. This is what they desire now. This is what the devotee may not be on this level, but the most important thing is to the spark of desire. We want the desire to come into our heart, and we want it to burst into flames gradually by the process of hearing and chanting and association of devotees and serving. This is what they now desire. Henceforth, from now on, may all our words describe your pastimes. Instead of our tongues being used to captivate the minds of wonderful damsels, let our words emanating from our mouth be used to describe your glories. May our ears engage in oral reception of your glories. May our hands, legs, and other senses engage in actions pleasing you. Pleasing to you. And may our minds always think of your lotus feet. And this is the cure for all difficulties, actually. Is somehow or another, if we can become absorbed, and this will come out in a moment, that it is all a matter of absorption. what our consciousness is absorbed in. And usually we have, well, not we, but I have one foot in this boat and another foot in this boat. And I remember, yeah. But absorbed in thinking about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, may our heads be offer our obeisances to everything within this world, respecting all things, what to speak of all people, because all things are also your different forms. They are your energy. And may our eyes see the form of Vaishnavas, who are none different from you. That is their desire at this point. It is a wonderful desire. And Krishna will respond to their desire. And he will not say, yes, you have understood me as the Supreme Lord, and despite my position, acting as if I am a baby, you should understand that indeed I am everything. He doesn't say that at all, but he says, the great saint Narada Muni is very merciful. He glorifies his devotee. By his curse, he showed the greatest favor to both of you, who were mad after material opulence and who had thus become blind. Blind means what? Not being able to see. And Prabhupada insists, and Shastra insists, that not seeing Krishna is not seeing. This is described in the Bhagavatam in many places, that not seeing Krishna in every circumstance, in everything, is actually not seeing. It's illusion. So by his curse, you who had become blinded by your material opulence, by your material success, were cured. It was a painful operation. You had to become the most poverty-stricken of entities, trees. And whatever leaves you would get, you would lose seasonally. And endure all hardships. And although you fell from the higher planet, Swargaloka, and became trees, you are most favored by him. Tate unukampam susamikshamano vidvagvapodam vedanam namaste. If one develops this type of vision that Krishna is describing, jivatiyo mukti pade sadayabhak, you will be with Krishna continuously. But it takes complete depth. Because if I decide right now, from now on, when anything bad happens to me, I will just take shelter of Krishna, and I won't think anything else but Krishna's lotus feet. My consciousness isn't that deep, actually. So when the winds of my fate come, the tree of my determination gets knocked over. So it's a matter of becoming deep. Superficial Krishna consciousness is superficial, on the surface. It is insufficient. And it will not protect us. I mean, it will protect us because of Krishna's mercy. But this should not be our goal, is to be superficial. Our goal is to what? Is to become, to hear so much about Braj and see the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and hear of what Prabhupada did and so many great devotees and followers of Prabhupada and how everything was for Krishna and the Raghunath Das Goswami crying and crying and crying, thin like anything, but his heart was so full. He left the world of opulence to gain the world of the great true opulence. And he was living in that world. That should be our goal, to live in that world. We want that as our goal, to get a taste for that realm. And here in Vrindavan we have such a nice chance. So since it's the first day of the retreat, nearing the end of the first day, we want to I would like to remind you all and me also that this is such an opportunity, such a rare opportunity where we have nothing else to do, practically speaking. Nothing else to do except to be engaged in chanting and hearing about Krishna in Vrindavan under the beneficent. What does beneficent mean? Kindly, merciful, benevolent, generous, magnanimous glance of Giriraj, who is ready to fulfill our desires. So we should desire properly. So although you fell from the higher planet, Swagaloka, and became trees, you were most favored by him. I knew of all these incidents from the very beginning. Krishna knew. They were there for a very long time. And Krishna knew everything, all the time. And then he said, Sadunam samachitanam sutaram mat kritatmanam darshanam no bhaved bandha pumso krishno savitoyata. When one is face to face with the sun, there is no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee who is fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer be subject to material bondage. So we are very fortunate. What can be said? And then the final words of Krishna here. Tadgatshatam mat paramo. Now both of you may return. But mat paramo, you will accept me, mat, as the supreme destination of your life. This you should keep focused. Nalakuvara sadanam. He just addresses the senior, Nalakuvara, meaning Nalakuvara Madhuriva. Now, sadanam, go to your home. But, sanjata mai bhavoyam. Keep your consciousness saturated. Bhavovam. Keep your consciousness saturated in the mood of devotion to me, and ipsita paramo abhava. And then, being engaged in that way, ipsito parama, that which you desired, if you are engaged in that way, if you keep your consciousness saturated with me, with thoughts of me, with devotion to me, then your desire to be always engaged, as you said, each of your senses engaged in my service will be fulfilled. And abhava, so bhava means to be engaged with me, and abhava means you'll fall from that position. So if you are absorbed, he's saying, and keep Krishna conscious, then you will not fall down. Or in the words of Mahaprabhu, Kirtaniya Sadahari, or somehow or another in the mood of preaching for the pleasure of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, keep absorbed in their pleasure. Think of them as you do your service, whatever that service is, pujari service, this service, that service. Be absorbed in the thoughts of pleasing Krishna. Have Krishna fill our consciousness. And then there is no question of falling down. This is Krishna's promise to them. Because they're going back to the heavenly planets. And they came from the heavenly planets in a way that, in one sense, we've all come from somewhere and we're coming to Giriraj and we're going to be hearing about so many pastimes We're hearing about the birth pastimes of Krishna, the Sankachuda pastimes of Krishna, the pastimes of Akura, how he builds up his consciousness to see Krishna, even though he's carrying the message from Kamsa, and then about Kaliya, Krishna Kaliya, and then we're going to have to return. And if we can, as much as we can keep absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we'll be able to take everything with us. So at least we build up this desire, the desire for this absorption. We may not have the capacity, but let us build up the desire, and that is something wonderful to pray for, to Giriraj. That may it might increase my desire to serve you. And now, the last verse. I'll just read Prabhupada's purport and then read the last verse, and we shall end, practically speaking, on time. O Nalakuvara Manigriva, now you may both return home. Since you desire to be always absorbed in my devotional service, since you desire to be always absorbed in my devotional service, your desire to develop love and affection for me will be fulfilled. What a hope-giving verse, promise of Krishna's. And now you will never fall from that platform with Krishna's blessings. And then finally, I think that's the end here, but I'll just read the last verse in the chapter. Srila Shukadev Goswami said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having spoken to the two demigods in this way, they circumambulated the Lord, who was bound, he was still bound to the wooden grinding mortar. And they are the effulgent demigods. And they offered their obeisances to him, and taking the permission of Lord Krishna, they returned to their respective homes. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Now, just one request. Now it is time to take prasadam, to honor prasadam, and then please come on time. At what time does the class begin? The next class? 7 exactly. And we'll hear something very wonderful. But please, when we leave the classes, all the classes, try to meditate a little deeply and try to pray deeply. Hare Krishna. Thank you.